Wednesday, February 7th, 2007, upon further review, episode number 32. Well, a nation mourns, because in America, the Super Bowl of American football has come and gone. But fear not for our American listeners, because on those lonely nights, those Sundays where there seems to be nothing to do, the cold winter wind blows on the outside of your homes, you'll have the warm voices of Greg and Clea to keep you going. Upon further review, it's just like football, but without the silly Gatorade bath. Okay, upon further review, I'm Greg.
I'm Clea.
Yeah, how's everyone doing out there? This is the post-Super Bowl edition, episode number 32. A couple of things, a little bit of housekeeping to take care of. First of all, I want to apologize about the feed stuff. If you've not been able to get this immediately through iTunes, it's because we've upgraded to a new version of PodPress, and there's been some little bit of a few kinks to work out. But I think now everybody's been able to download it correctly, and thank you for those of you, Drum Intellected and a couple of others who chimed in and let me know if it was working or not working, so we appreciate that. Secondly, we wanted to say thanks for the... We had a ton of comments on our last show from a bunch of different people. Well, a lot of different people, including Douglas, who is not pleased that we claimed we were concluding our segment on women in podcasting. He's like, how can you do that without checking the following two shows that, you know, that are also involving women in podcasting? So
that's true. I think you phrased it wrong. We were concluding that email... run.
Right, we weren't concluding that we will never again talk about any women that are involved in podcasting.
It was just that one email,
yeah.
we did
There's a lot.
Two of his six requests.
That's correct. So we will get back to some of the others. Yes.
That email request.
That's correct. But we will, you know, we will certainly get to the other ones that he suggested in the future, and we're glad that he is such an enthusiastic listener to the show. He also wanted to point out that we are a blog. So when I said that thing in the 2000 bloggers about how I was surprised that, you know, because we're not really a blog or a view show, he's like, you are a blog, you're just an audio blog. I'm like, okay, well, if audio blog equals good thing and therefore people like us, then that's fine.
We'll be whatever you want to
be, whatever
you're saying.
Sure.
You're such a whore.
We're a hamburger. Okay, if you like hamburgers, then that's us. We'll be a hamburger. That's fine.
Okay, I refuse to be a hamburger.
Okay, how about a hot dog?
No. Oh. You know what goes into those things?
The other thing I wanted to say quickly is we wanted to mention Steve, our friend from Wicked Good Podcast, sent us an email in which he talked about another reason why EB Games is bad. And basically what this is, the link that he sent us shows that they have marked up a game to $7.99 in their used system. And you think, well, $7.99 isn't bad, right? They marked up the Burger King game, the one that you can get for 99 cents in Burger King. They marked up to $7.99. I was like, but our used games, once they enter the store, you get all of a sudden the power of EB and like, yeah. So
that's funny.
Right. Anyway, so thanks to Steve for that. And thanks to everybody who's contributed and so forth. So for the show today, we are going to be dealing with, as usual, three things. We're going to start off by talking about the Super Bowl. It seemed apropos since it just passed. Talk a little bit about our impressions of the event, what we think about the game, sort of in general terms.
Do we have any listeners that don't like how Amerocentric we are? Or was that your Wet Mep Report listeners?
It's not Amerocentric necessarily. We do other things as well, but you know, we're...
No, I know, but I mean, I'm just saying if we have any people that don't like certain things that are very Americano.
Oh, I see.
Like the fact that we're going to be covering the Super Bowl.
Well, but the Super Bowl is a huge worldwide event, too. A lot of people watch that. They said something like 170 different countries now watch, or maybe it's 130 countries, but anyway, watch the Super Bowl. It just struck me that I think there are only 170 countries. you know, somewhere in American Samoa. No, but like 130 countries apparently watch the Super Bowl. So I think it's more of an international event.
How many countries watch the World Cup?
More than that. Oh, the World Cup is, yeah, crazy. Everybody right. but America, pretty much, watches the World Cup. Hey, when the World Cup comes around again, man, we'll freaking talk about it.
Yeah.
I like the World Cup.
Okay.
We're going to start with the Super Bowl. Then we're going to move on to the second item of business, which is to review the musician Prince. And this ties into the Super Bowl because Prince actually did the halftime show. It was actually pretty good. And then finally, we're going to talk about the podcast segment for this week, which is called Extruding America. This is a new one that was submitted to us for review. And
by the person, right?
By the person, okay. One of the people who produces the podcast. And it's interesting. So we'll talk about that at the end of the show.
I forgot to tell you that we got an email from one of our listeners, Meg, who requested that we watch a movie. I don't think she actually was saying that we should review it, but she was saying we should check it out. So I thought that we could all Netflix it and then...
So this is basically your friend who said, hey, you should check out this movie, and somehow that became part for the show.
Yeah, it didn't quite come out right. It sounded like that when I thought of it, and then when I said it out loud, it sounded like what you said.
That's awesome, though. People be like, oh, you should check that out. And you're like, for a show, right? For a show. Right. We should put it on our show? Or should we be for the show?
Well, I told you about my coworker that downloaded all of our things.
All of them at once?
All of them. Nice. He said it just downloaded all of them, so that he said... If I ever hear him giggling in his cubicle, it's him listening to our podcast.
Oh, that's good. All right. So let's move on to the first part, which is talking about the Super Bowl. And the website that we're using for this is really shocking.
Yeah.
www.superbowl.com.
Give him time to get a pen and paper.
That's right. Okay. I'll spell it out. SUPERBOWL.
One word.
.com.
There you go.
And wouldn't it be great if somebody actually had bought that before the whole website thing really hit? And they're like, let's see, how much do you want for Super Bowl? $2 million?
Okay,
how about
now,
$5 million for Super Bowl?
First of all, they have Colts Rain in the Rain. And what this picture looked really odd to me. He looks like he has a really short arm. Doesn't that look weird?
And his elbow
neck
is sort of like pointing.
It's all wrinkly.
Well,
it really is a weird, bad picture. Is that the best picture they could get?
Well, no, but it shows the trophy and Manning smiling, and
he's not even smiling.
The Super Bowl, which as everybody knows in America anyway, is the culmination of the football season, where the two remaining football teams with the records that have gotten through the playoffs face each other. In this case, it was the Indianapolis Colts with Peyton Manning as one of the all-time great quarterbacks against the Chicago Bears, which have a lot of history, and you know both teams have won one before.
Bears.
But the Colts have not won one since they moved to Indianapolis. They actually were first in Baltimore, and then they moved to Indianapolis. This basically solidifies Peyton Manning's legacy. Now all the regular season records mean something because he's won a championship, and so
maybe
people
they'll
can't
actually
say that,
try to
you know,
get
that,
a.
So. Oh, they'll try to go for undefeated now?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's because there have been a couple times when they've been close. When they had last year, they were 13-0, in fact, before they lost the game. So
right, because supposedly they don't care about that.
Apparently, which I think is...
they were too focused on getting to the Super Bowl.
So now they've got that. Now they can just go all out for the undefeated season. That's not a bad thought. But the Colts actually won this game, as I said. And the game was not bad. I mean, it was a decent game. But the thing about the Super Bowl is that it really is an event. It's really not so much about football. In fact, football purists will tell you that the last real weekend of football is the championship games leading up to it, the AFC and the NFC champion, and the winners of those two games play in the Super Bowl. They'll tell you that that weekend is the last football game because that's, first of all, you're playing in other teams' stadiums, so it's not a neutral field.
Right.
And secondly, you have a weather situation sometimes, like Chicago played at home in sub-frigid weather, you know,
right.
Whereas the Super Bowl, except for this Super Bowl, which is a little different, almost never has weather concerns because they have it either inside or they have it in San Diego or in Arizona or Miami. And this was actually the first Super Bowl where weather was a concern because it rained during the game.
The first Super Bowl where there was a weather
this
concern?
This is the first ever Super Bowl where weather was a concern. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, in the modern era. I mean, not counting
in the
like...
modern era.
Well, yeah, like, because the first couple ones...
say that, it makes... Back in the Stone Ages.
Well, not the medieval times. Well, no, because the first five Super Bowls or so, I think they hadn't really figured out what they were going to do with
it. That's funny.
But
back when they were cavemen, we hadn't figured that maybe it'd be a good idea to do it
before there were footballs, you know.
Or do it in Florida.
But now they're all
neutral
field. I don't
understand why Florida, everyone knows that it rains in Florida.
Well, but at the time that this happens, it's not normally the case that it's going to be a big deal. Plus, it's normally drizzling and not pouring. I don't know. It's just, it's different.
So
this
there were
was
some errors because
there.
People... slipped and
fumbles and
lots of fumbles, a lot of turnovers.
Yep. But the game really becomes in some ways less important than the event itself because it's a big media spectacle. There's often a 2-week build up to it. There's all the Super Bowl commercials, which maybe Clea and I can talk about in a bit. So there's a whole event. It's not just about the football. It's the whole big massive media frenzy around this particular game.
For many. I mean, for me, I would just like to watch a good game. Part of the sports thing that Greg likes is all of the talking that they do beforehand, the build up, the interviews, the sports radio.
I don't want that much stuff though. I mean, I'd like them to do some interviews and then get on with the game. Like 2 weeks in between is ridiculous. Like, because it's just way too much hype that's built up, which means that in many cases the game itself doesn't live up to the hype.
Yeah, it's always anticlimactic.
You know? Yeah,
just like the commercials. Everyone says, "Oh, the Super Bowl, you know, commercials are the best."
Look, but it says right there, Super Bowl broadcast in 232 countries. That's right. 232.
So you know.
So I was way.
Like
now I was way, way short. Right,
only
so on
100
we go.
100 off. But, oh shoot, I forgot what I was saying.
Sorry, I just was excited when I saw that.
A lot of the hubbub this year was that two African-American coaches were at the Super Bowl, and so there was a given that for the first time ever, an African-American coach was going to win the Super Bowl.
Right.
So that was one of the big to-dos during this thing as well.
Right. It was historic, and I think it was important in a lot of ways because it's a reminder to those leagues that still haven't integrated. For example, college football, where out of 140-some-odd Division I programs, there are six black head coaches. And in fact, there are, I think, a total of maybe, I want to say, 12 or 15 minority head coaches. I promise you that there are many more qualified people than that are showing up there. So what I found funny was leading up to the Super Bowl, there was a big deal being made of the two black head coaches, mm-hmm. except for some people I listened to on sports talk radio are just like, I don't know why people can't get past this. And they were, you know, and they're two white guys. I love it when white people try to make, I don't understand why blacks care about this. Like, yeah. Thanks. Thanks for demonstrating the limits of your own ignorance. It was important, and I was certainly glad to see that it was both there. Plus, Tony Dungy, who was the coach who actually won, he's also not one of the sort of, I scream at my players to get them to do things guys. Mm-hmm. He just is always, he's very well respected. He's soft-spoken, and his players play for him because they respect the kind of person he is, not because he screams at them. So mm-hmm. it was nice to see, you know, that happen as well. So
that's what I was saying, is that people also watch the Super Bowl for, supposedly for the commercials, but the commercials have really sucked the last three
years.
Yeah,
I agree. This year's was...
I can't remember the last time we had a Super Bowl commercial that everyone was talking about. I mean, maybe 2 years ago. I can't think of it right now, but I...
Yeah, and that was part of the problem I had with the commercials this year. It seemed like they all, a lot of them started with great ideas, and then they just fizzled. Like, they had these good idea to start with, and they just do something which is really disappointing. You know?
The funny thing about, remember there was that commercial where the guy had, they're in a locker, and the guy had a cell phone, and the guy's like, yeah. Oh, that's a great cell phone. And he's like, yeah, it has this, and it has that, it has theft deterrent. He's like, oh, really? Yeah, I tried to take away my cell phone. From me. Okay. Starts to grab it, and the guy throws the cell phone
at his head.
Greg and I thought that was the most funny commercial ever. There was a few people that...
Everyone in the room was like,
Was that a Super Bowl commercial?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, that was like...
They were just sort of like, what's the big deal?
Like, I think that we thought that was... Well, there was a similar... It just struck me that the only one that we really laughed at this year was the one where there was a guy doing paper, rock, scissors with another guy.
And he throws a rock at him.
At his head.
Yeah.
So obviously, we find that very funny.
I mean, I think physical humor is just... The Three Stooges were
so
way
random.
Ahead of their time.
Oh man!
But I think it's funny though because I agree that a lot of the commercials, I also like clever commercials if they're really honestly clever. But they're mm-hmm. just, you know, like, they thank God they got rid of the stupid monkey commercials that Career Builder was doing for a while.
I like that commercial.
Oh God, so dumb! And they got rid of
commercial.
It, but they replaced it with these people in a jungle doing these like
tasks. Was one of them.
And it was okay,
it was
but
a good idea,
it didn't go
but it
anywhere.
It didn't work. What's the word? It come to fruition correctly. They
it didn't not suck.
No, I mean, never mind. All right. So what are we rating all of the Super Bowl or just the Super Bowl?
I would
Bowl?
Say rate the Super Bowl as an event, because in many cases, I should say, by the way, that, you know, people will go to Super Bowl parties and they'll hang out and there's food and everything else that's involved with it. Normally, Clea and I have done that. This time, though, we didn't, because I wasn't feeling well. It was just, we just didn't feel like doing that. So it was very mellow. We just hung out by ourselves and watched it, which was a nice change.
A lot of people will be invited to like a few Super Bowl parties. Like, we were invited to two or three, yep. And some people have been like, a lot of people do pull out the parties.
So it's and it gets, you know, the normal rating that it gets is about, I think the Nielsen's always show it to be right around 50% of all Americans with TVs are watching the Super Bowl at the same time, which that's a lot. I mean,
that's
if you think about
that,
100 and, you know, whatever it is, 145 million people or so watching at the same time. I guess not that many would have TVs.
You'd have to know, yeah, how many
you'd have to know
many
have TVs. But you're still talking like, you know, tens and tens and tens of millions of people, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so that's pretty impressive.
All right.
So I'd say, yeah, we have to rate the whole thing, the whole kit and caboodle.
All right.
I mean, I would say that I'd probably be tempted to rate it an 8. I think that the Super Bowl is generally something which comes across well. I think it's fun. And I think that as an event and because of all of the stuff surrounding it, it's almost like a holiday, really. And it's enjoyable for that reason. But it also has the problem where the games sometimes stink, and that's an issue. And it can be overhyped to a great degree. And that is obviously a problem as well. So maybe 8's a little high. I could see maybe going to a 7.
I was going to say 7.
Maybe a 7 as well. Okay. Maybe 7 makes sense to me. So if you have a chance, though, to be able to see it, if you're in one of the 232 countries in which this is broadcast, please make sure to check it out if you haven't already. Even if you don't particularly like football, as I say, it's an event, and so it can be good for that reason. Okay.
And it's good reason to eat chips.
Correct.
If you ever need like a special occasion.
Yeah, if you're forbidden from eating nachos for religious reasons, that's lifted.
This is lifted
during the Super Bowl. Yeah.
Yes.
Everyone out there is like, what? Okay. Okay. Second thing on the docket for tonight is the musician Prince. Now, Prince did the halftime show.
Which is very interesting that they had Prince, because they've had to be careful ever since the whole Janet Jackson thing. And they've had a few years since Janet Jackson that have just been, I don't know, it's a little too safe.
It only happened 2 years ago.
Right,
so there's only had one year, and it was terrible.
It was
the Rolling Stones, and the Rolling Stones are terrible.
Oh, my God. See, that's what it is, I put that on
my
mind.
No, but the truth is, honestly, it might have been 3 years ago, and it might have been... No, actually, it was three, because it was Paul McCartney, and then the Rolling Stones, and then this year. So there were 2 years in between. But that's the thing, like, they got these people...
They have Janet Jackson, and then 3 years in a row, they have, like, guys in their... High 40s, high 50s,
I'm surprised they didn't resurrect
60s.
Frank Sinatra so like he could do it. Because seriously, like, that's the problem. The problem with halftime shows in general is that halftime shows just tend to be terrible. Like, it's like the Saturday Night Live curse. Bands go out there and they just don't know what the heck they're doing. And this has often been the case. It's certainly the Rolling Stones are bad anyway, and this made them worse. You know, and Paul McCartney wasn't that good either in the show. But Prince was good.
It's a unique setting, and you need a unique star that could handle that
setting.
He's
certainly unique. One thing I want to say about him, too, the one thing that was good is that he has his song Purple Rain, and because it was raining, it was wild, because he's doing this whole thing, the Purple Rain, and of course the rain is pouring down around him. So that was kind of the, if you'll pardon the pun, the perfect storm. I mean, it fit that he would be doing this at that time.
Well, Prince, I mean, most people know Prince. Prince, and those people that know Prince as kind of a joke would be unfortunate. But he has, ever since he came back as the artist formerly known as Prince, he lost a little bit of his credibility, which is unfortunate because he never lost any of his talent.
Right.
For those of you who don't know, I mean, just as a instrumentalist, as a singer, as a songwriter, the man is amazing. He can play, like, what is it, like 10 instruments or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
He is, if you think of a song that you love,
he's written over
written
a thousand. I know. Clea and I had a theory at one point that he had written every song ever. And he released over 1,000 songs, both under his own name and through other artists. In fact, if you know the song by Sinead O'Connor, Nothing Compares
that's
to You,
the most famous,
which was her big hit, and it was one that she didn't want to do at the time, and she didn't really like it, and Prince wrote that, and then, of course, after that, her career collapsed because Sinead O'Connor is terrible. But Prince was the songwriter. And
he does a great version of it, too, where he goes, where she goes up with her voice, he goes down. It's a very interesting play on it, and he has quite a range.
Yep.
And the man is like 48, and he looked like he was 18.
Yeah, he doesn't age.
Still.
He's like
scary.
Sting that way. Sting's the same way. He doesn't age either. It was the same kind of thing.
I don't know. I guess that what's that religion that he is?
Well, he's a Jehovah's Witness now.
Maybe that Jehovah's Witness stuff got something.
I had a friend who went to see a concert of his a couple years ago where he did a 20-minute acoustic version of Purple Rain. And, of course, he was like mid-40s then, that he said was amazing. Here's the thing. Prince is a weird guy. Like, I've told the story, didn't I? Where Carlos Boozer, who's an NBA player, rented his house to Prince. Now, I'm not entirely clear why Prince needs to rent houses, but okay. So he rents the house from Prince. Prince rents the house. And when Boozer came back, he sued him because Prince had, first of all, painted the entire house purple, which is like his color.
On the outside.
And he had put his symbol, you know, in a couple of places, too, his weird symbol that I can't really describe. And then down below, he had this elevator shaft put into the house to go down to his personal salon where he gets his hair taken care of. But looking at Carlos Boozer talking about why he was suing him was hilarious, because he, like a lot of the people, especially a lot of people in the African-American community, Chappelle has said this, where Dave Chappelle, the comedian, has talked about how they don't really know what to do with Prince, right? Because he's clearly a genius, but he's just so weird. So Carlos Boozer is just kind of like, yeah, man, you know, you can't, my house is purple, man. You can't do that.
I mean,
which is just funny. Like,
regardless of
just,
the fact that
it's Prince,
it
you
just
know?
Shows his lack of touch of reality that he lives in his own world. Regardless of what he did to the house,
right.
The fact that he did it to a
I
house
know.
That he's renting.
I know. He's just amazing. I know. So he's a weird guy personally, but he really, I honestly believe, and I don't use this term lightly, that he's a musical genius. Not because just of the number of instruments he plays. If you look at the way that he constructs songs, if you look at the way that he puts them together, the way that he uses instruments, I think that Prince for a long time has been way ahead of his time. The song When Doves Cry, which I don't like as a song, but I think is very, very well put together. A song I like, which is called Raspberry Beret, that nobody in the world likes because they think it's cheesy. I think it's good, using one violin and this different kind of a beat. And so Prince is a really interesting guy in that regard. And he's really, you know, even though he's been weird and these weird things have happened, he's never gotten off track with his music. I mean,
right.
I get the feeling he just keeps producing music and he keeps doing stuff. And,
people say he's a workaholic and a perfectionist, and he's stay on target. He's had problems, like other artists, with his label over
right.
the years, which I think especially like during the 90s or something.
Well,
so
he got big enough where he created his own label, and then
right.
he's just like, I'm going to do it, you know.
But so he had some problems, and that, like most lawsuits, can take a few years and took him a little bit out of the limelight. And then with the whole thing of, you know, artists formerly known as Prince, just was a really bad PR move, which I, you know, of course, as Prince probably wouldn't care, but I guess he cared enough because he went back to Prince. And but that also really affected his, I think, credibility, popularity a little bit. But I guess it's only really the last couple of years he's making a comeback, honestly.
Right. He did some acting, too, by the way. You know, he did the soundtrack for Batman, or recorded a lot of stuff in the original Batman soundtrack. And
I
did acting in Purple Rain.
That whole summer
the Purple
that
Rain
that
movie,
came,
he's pretty good, actually. He's not
that whole summer that Batman album came out, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I played that over. I know, like, all of the lyrics.
Did you know that he originally was collaborating with Michael Jackson on the song Bad? That song was originally supposed to be both of them, and then he ended up feeling he actually left because he left the project because he said that Michael Jackson wasn't making the song dark enough, which is really interesting because he was basically Michael Jackson and Prince were the two main guys at that point as solo, you know, pop R&B artists. Who else was out there? Like in the 80s, it was really Prince and, you know, late 80s, especially Prince and Michael Jackson. So it was kind of interesting.
Well, it's funny because a lot of people have said that song is quite silly. You know, that that he's what he's saying and that he's trying to be all cool and that he's doing it, you know, Jamal, all that kind of stuff. It just is a little bit odd. I mean, I would trust Prince's instincts, but of course, that album is one of the major albums in Michael Jackson's before he became insane.
Well, and I'm hoping, you know, he's actually going to be releasing a new album, which is entitled 3121, which is supposed to be coming out. I guess, I don't think it's come out soon, has it? Or did it come out and I missed it? I guess it did come out.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what he was starting to promote.
Okay, so that was what he was promoting.
I think he did one of the new songs from that.
Okay, and he's going to be, that's what it is. There is an upcoming album, which is going to be released early in 2007. But here's the thing, whatever people may think about Prince, weird guy or not, I'm telling you right now, this is the best halftime show you're ever going to see. As a halftime show goes, he can play the heck out of his instrument. and he,
you know, a lot of times guitarists won't get the chance to take the time or won't take the time during a show like this to really show you some instrumental work, and he did. I mean, we didn't get to see his full what he can do, but
right.
It was a good show. I actually felt that I got to hear a little bit of some songs instead of like this, I have to change the next song.
Yeah, he did a cover of All Along the Watchtower, which everybody does. I mean, he did some of that, and he did Proud Mary, and he had all seemed to fit together in some way.
Yeah.
Plus, of course, his stage was itself the weird symbol. So
And he finished off with
Purple Rain, which is great.
I mean, with on the guitar, that's his symbol.
Oh, right. That's right.
A guitar shaped like a symbol, which he threw into the audience.
Right.
And I couldn't tell if he really legitimately threw that into the audience as if, take this here, you can have it.
You heard a stunk. It's like, oh!
Well, that's being sold on eBay.
But then they'd be like, that's Prince, man. What are you going to do? You know?
No, I mean, that's great. I'm glad he's doing well. I guess the lawsuits haven't killed him.
So what do you want to rate him?
A 9.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. I'd say it's a 9. And it's as much based upon the skill that he has and the talent and the sort of influence that he's had, because he's been enormously influential as an artist. I don't like all of his songs, but I like many of them. And even the ones I don't like, I admire. I really do think he's an extraordinary musician.
Oh, he did have a son.
Did he?
Remember I asked you if he'd ever had a kid? He did, and the
son
died
shortly after birth. Oh.
That's so sad.
And he was named Gregory. That's even more sad. For no reason at all.
And I guess he became, well, I don't know.
Became a Jehovah's Witness. Well, he's actually removed some lyrics from his songs that were, he thought, a little bit...
Yeah, but I don't know if this is actually true, but supposedly he became a Jehovah's Witness at the behest of his dying mother's wish. So
yep.
I don't know if that gives him a little bit more credibility, but the fact that he's still doing it, I guess, takes away that.
One of his nicknames is the Purple Midget, which came from angered Weird Al fans. It's like, all right, okay, Weird Al. Anyway, so 9 out of 10 for Prince.
Oh, just really quick, we would have given you a website for Prince, but the official website for Prince is through his label, and when we go to it, it doesn't open for some reason.
Although that could just be Prince being Prince. Like, I do not want my website to open. I want my website to be blank.
You will just see black.
It's just blank. And everyone's like, okay.
It's what you bring to it. Anyway, so
that's why.
If we find something, if it opens.
If you find an official Prince website, let us know.
We found lots of fan sites.
If you're Prince, listen to us. First of all, hi. And secondly,
hi.
So. Okay, last on the docket.
You have to see the Chappelle Show.
Oh, where he's doing the Prince thing?
Where
that is.
Oh, my God, it's so funny.
That is very funny.
You could probably find it on YouTube if you haven't seen it.
Okay, so the last thing on the docket for tonight is the podcast called Extruding America, and this was submitted to us by one of the producers of the show. You can find it at extrudingamerica.com. That's extrudingamerica.com.
Super Bowl I, which of course wasn't called Super Bowl I. It was originally called the AFL-NFL Championship Game.
Really?
Rather prosaic, isn't it, Gerard? We've got this thing so out of line, we've got Prince playing at a halftime show. All right, Super Bowl I featured the Packers against the Chiefs. Now, the Meat Packers probably lured the Chiefs with the promise of a treaty. You know how the white man has been, Gerard, in this country.
Oh, yes.
Into vast meat lockers.
Shameful.
And froze them to death. They did the same thing the next year in Super Bowl II to the Oakland Raiders, the Pirates. They somehow convinced the Pirates to do the same thing. Come on, they probably lured them with some meat, Gerard. Because all those times on the ship, all they had was salt beef, or the Pirates I'm talking about. The Raiders only had salt beef and whatever it was to chow down on. The Meat Packers lured them into these vast meat lockers, and they froze to death. These blue, shivering Pirates, Gerard, probably hanging on hooks. A horrible, horrible death.
Horrifying.
And this one's actually pretty new. It's only been around, I believe, since early December of last year, I want to say. Yeah, the first show was released December 15th, 2006.
There's only 7 episodes.
And there are
they
7
have other
episodes.
Little extras and blog kind of things.
That's
but,
right. Their motto is, searching for the heart of a nation in the throat of its people, as they tell the stories that are extruding America. That's the way that he says it.
It really is. It's just one guy supposedly does a mock interview kind of calling this guy that lives in this particular area in Washington State, just south of Seattle.
Right. Stet is the guy that he calls, Stetson, and this guy's name is Gerard, is the one who does the interviewing. So.
Right. And it's just talking to him, you know, saying, okay, we're going to talk about this particular theme, but then the guy just kind of talking about things, and this other guy, who's a little bit more straight-laced, is kind of reacting and interviewing and asking questions and stuff like that. And this guy, I guess, is kind of a little bit of the West Coast version of a redneck.
Sort of, yeah. That he talks about going to the taverns a lot, and you know,
it's so funny. But I mean, I'm from Seattle, so I grew up, you know, near this area, and it's funny because it struck me that there are people like I can see kind of a little bit what he's doing.
Yeah,
and it is kind of a unique culture that I hadn't even like kind of thought about. But yeah, it's kind of like our version of a redneck in the kind of this the way that they're thinking about things, the way they talk about things, that kind of thing.
Redneck 2.0,
right? I don't know, but I don't know if you've ever seen the Red Green Show. It's a Canadian show. I felt like it was a little bit of that, like kind of smart, offbeat quirky kind of people talking about life in their small, you know, outback town.
Well, and he calls it, I mean, what he said in the email that he sent was, we've been described as Garrison Keillor meets Christopher Guest, or This American Life Gone Horribly Wrong, which is part satire, part skewed weirdness. There's an evolving story somewhere in here about the darkness at the heart of America. I don't notice as much about the darkness, but I certainly notice, you know, the other stuff about this sort of satirical look at middle America, you mm-hmm. know, the way that they do these things. But the thing that makes the show to me is the fact that both of them do a really excellent job at timing in particular. So they'll, you know, one of them will say something and there's this horribly awkward silence at the other end of the line. You know,
it's
like
this very real dialogue, I think is the point. It's quite real. And the dialogue will be such that he might start to say something and that, like, they're really actually talking on the phone in an interview.
You know what else it reminded me of a little bit of was Fernwood Tonight, that TV show with Martin Mull and Fred Willard, which was a TV show that people might remember from seeing. If you're older, you'll remember it. If you're younger, you might have seen it in Nick at Night, where it was like a TV show, like a Johnny Carson thing, but it would be the same kind of relationship where they would talk to, you know, Fred Willard, and Fred Willard would act like kind of like this idiot, and he wouldn't get half the jokes that Martin Mull was making. So basically, Martin Mull would be making fun of him half the time. Fred Willard was like, ha ha, you know, like, and not really getting it. And there's that, those awkward silences and laughs and things like that reminded me a little bit of this here.
Yeah, but it really is just this guy interviewing this guy, and he's kind of like, yeah, you know, and says, you know, he says something that's kind of like normal for him, but it's really abnormal. And so he's kind of, yep.
Like, he talks about doing the trotter shots where these pig feet get, like, they pour alcohol around pig feet
with Tabasco and beer.
And the other guy is just sort of like, I really kind of need to go get some Pepto-Bismol. And so the dark satirical side of America. I see that, but I don't get the darkness part. I think of it as being kind of quirky. I mean, we listen to about 3 shows, and since there's only 7, I think that's a good sampling. But I don't really get the darkness from it. Do you?
I mean, no, but I don't know. Maybe that's satirical in and of itself.
It could be.
You know,
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know.
And I think on the good side, I mean, our friend Tim actually, at his review website, gave it a 9 out of 10 and said that it's very funny. I understand what he's getting at. I think it's subtle, you know? It's not the kind of thing you're going to listen to and immediately start laughing. You have to give it a little time. But if you give it some time, you're going to start, there's a kind of momentum that builds up about the humor of the situation. I don't know that this would appeal to absolutely everybody. I think if there's people who want your jokes in 5-second punchlines, you're not going to get it here. But I do think it's very funny if you do like things like Garrison Keillor's Prairie Home Companion or something. If you like that kind of laid back, down home kind of thing, or if you listen to it and find satire of it funny, I think there's something to that as well. Plus, it's just funny to listen to their timing because they clearly have prepared this, you know, very well, and to make it seem natural, even though it's obviously something which they've scripted ahead of time. So, so I liked it, actually. I thought it was pretty good. Each of the shows is about 10 to 15 minutes, and, you know, and they're released about weekly, roughly. I like it. I think it's kind of funny.
Yeah, I would agree.
I would be inclined to give this probably an 8 out of 10. I think this is pretty good.
The website's very straightforward.
Yep.
It has,
website's clear.
It's pretty much the podcast.
One recommendation, they do have direct downloads. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And I think they use, I think they're using Libsyn, if I'm not mistaken, to do stuff. Yeah, it's Libsyn, so that's fine. One recommendation I would have, if you could change the music, that would be good. I mean, I know that the music that you're using is like a MIDI file and sort of part of the thing, but I find it very sort of off-putting from the beginning at the end, because I think it sounds to me kind of amateurish, and I think you could find pod-safe music that would do what you want. Like, even if it was like country music or a banjo playing, or I don't know, that's probably sounds too obvious, but I found the music to be a little bit, I mean, there's not much of it, but I found the music to be a little bit...
I didn't think about it at all.
Oh, really?
So I don't know at all. I can't even recall it to give my opinion at all.
That may be part of what I mean. It's just, I don't know. I just thought it was, I didn't really care for the music. That would be my suggestion, would be to maybe change it around. But otherwise, I like it. I think it's a good show.
Okay. 8 it is.
So an 8 out of 10 for Extruding America. All right. That's going to do it for us for this week. We want to thank everybody. We also want to thank people who have gone over and voted for us at the Podcast Peer Awards. We are one of the finalists in the public service category. And we want to thank you guys for that.
Along with, how many?
3 others. Electric Sky, the KC Weather Podcast, and our friend Charles from Mostly News, which we're actually going to be reviewing in a couple of weeks. We've known Charles for a while through other contexts, through the Mep Report comedy show that we do. And so, you know, we certainly appreciate the votes that we get and hope you guys will go over and check that out as well. And otherwise, please just continue to spread the word.
All right.
And other than that, I don't think we have anything else to say.
That's it.
So upon further review, I'm Greg.
I'm Clea.
See you next week. proceeding was a presentation of Upon Further Review, hosted at www.furtherreview.net. As usual, all rights are reserved. If you liked what you heard, please vote for us at podcastalley.com, vitalpodcast.com, and add us to your list of favorites at podcastpickle.com. You can leave us a comment at www.furtherreview.net, drop us a line at upon@furtherreview.net, or give us a phone call or send a fax to 206-339-UFR1. That's 206-339-8371. And lastly, don't be afraid to express your opinions. We know you have them. Let them out. Feel the power. Or you could just blindly accept whatever we tell you is fact. That'll work.
Bravo!
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good, though.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
It was terrible.
Get him away!
Hey, boo!
Boo!